Do you have peace this morning? Peace is not a feeling, and it's not simply the absence of conflict, as we saw in the video, and as we know that we talked about the war in Ukraine, and yet peace is still possible. So what is peace? Peace is wholeness, completeness, all the cracks filled in, if you will. And I know if I ask someone to draw a picture of my life over the past 6 months, it would not be entirely whole. In fact, some pieces would be a complete mess. I have had conflict in my life. I've had brokenness in my life. I've had pieces of my life in different places. If you didn't know, we stayed with Frank and Rose for several weeks, and we had some of our stuff in their garage. We had some of our stuff in Sam and Carlene's trailer. Our life was in pieces. And yet, Jess and I have been incredibly blessed. We have a new home, a new place to live. We have new opportunities. God is doing new things in our lives. We have a sense of His presence. So, if peace is wholeness and completeness and things made right, do we all have peace? Think about this. We all might be blessed. We all might be content. We all might be generally happy with our lives. But do you have peace this morning? Ask yourself, do I have peace if there's any conflict in my life right now? Do you have something causing brokenness in your life? Is there something about your health that worries you? Is there brokenness in a relationship you have with someone in your family, with one of your friends? Maybe you struggle as you're thinking about going into planning season, as we face inflation, think about how are we going to make ends meet with prices so high. Maybe there's something that keeps you up at night, breaking down not only your sleep, but your peace. If any of these things apply to you or someone you love, you recognize that it's normal. We're not all put together, right? But also, I have good news for you. You've come to the right place. Jesus is our source of peace. And when we gather together, scriptures tell us that Jesus is here. Amen? Oh, come on. You were more loud for the bishop last week. Amen? Amen? Jesus is our peace. So that's the first good news. The second good news is that you are not alone. There's someone sitting next to you right now that doesn't have it all together. And that's okay. Because Jesus is our peace. It's also good news because the disciples, right? The same day they found out Jesus rose from the dead, they didn't have it all together either. They didn't have peace. In fact, the opening lines of our scripture text for this morning says they were afraid. They had just heard that Jesus is alive from Mary, and yet, where are they? Behind closed doors, hiding. Do you think the disciples had peace? No, they were afraid. So let's set the stage here as we think about this scene. It's the first day of the week. It is evening. The disciples are missing the one thing that they've put their hope in, that they've put their trust in, that they've literally dedicated their lives to for the last 3 years. What is that? It's Jesus, right? Jesus. The one thing that unified this group of people is gone. The religious authorities and the powers of Rome put him on a cross and killed him. They have lost their sense of identity, their sense of hope, their sense of what's going to happen next. If there's one thing that they don't have this morning, or this evening in the text, is peace. But then, who shows up in verse 19? Who shows up? Jesus. And what is the first thing that Jesus says to the disciples? Peace be with you. Now, if I were Jesus, say, hey guys, I have a lot to explain. I know you might be concerned. But Jesus says, peace be with you. Now, we can look at this from several perspectives. Jesus kind of does say, hi, what's up, in this greeting. Because this greeting is Shalom Achaim, which is a traditional Jewish greeting of the time. Jews would greet each other with the word Shalom. It's a wish of peace, of wholeness, of restoration. It's a very common phrase, even still used today. Back at Messiah, I was working for conference services during the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America conference. And I heard Shalom so much, especially on Sabbath. When I worked on Sabbath, which was kind of ironic that I worked on Sabbath, Lord forgive me, but I heard the phrase Shabbat Shalom probably 10,000 times. And you can ask my wife, I say it so many times now just because I said it. But Jesus isn't just saying words here. He's not just giving a greeting. He is pronouncing a profound reality to his disciples that we're going to unpack. The next thing that Jesus does is he shows them his hands and his side to prove that it's in fact Jesus, that it's not just someone that looks like him. And the disciples, they're overjoyed. Can you imagine their feeling of joy? They go from being locked in a room, wondering if Rome's going to come after them too, to here's Jesus in the flesh. They are overjoyed. And Jesus fulfills exactly what he said in chapters 14 to 16. He said, I'll be gone for a little while, but then I'll return. He says, you'll have sorrow for a little while, but then you'll be overjoyed when I return. And that's exactly what happened. The disciples are ecstatic over his return. The disciples are, in a sense, made whole again. The gang is back together, if you will. The missing piece has returned. And yet, what Jesus does next is more than just proof that he is Jesus. These words that he gives to disciples are so important that I want to highlight them in three ways in our scripture text for this morning. If you like to take notes, if you like to jot down things, we're going to look at three things this morning in regards to peace. The power of Jesus' peace, the ministry of peace, and the message of peace. First, the power of Jesus' peace. Look at verse 21. What does Jesus say yet again? Peace be with you. And I think it's so important that we think about this. These are the first words he says to the disciples after rising from the dead. It could be easy for us to skip over them and think, oh, there's more important things for us to focus on. But we should really take these words to heart. I think it's ironic because as Jesus announces, peace be with you, he is bringing peace to the disciples, amen? His presence is peace, amen? Jesus is their peace. Now, what does it mean that Jesus is our peace? What does that phrase mean? Well, we know that there's sin in the world, right? There's war, there's murder, there's conflict, there's social and political unrest, there's sin. And we know that at a basic level, sin creates separation, right? Separation between nations, separation between people groups, separation between brothers and sisters and family members, right? Sin causes separation. But the most important relationship it causes separation is our relationship with God, right? That's what caused separation in the garden was sin. It created a divide. It created a brokenness. And Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, through belief in, through allegiance with Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that Jesus brought peace with God through his death on the cross. Ephesians 2 also talks about another dimension of peace. That peace doesn't just come with God. We're not on good terms with God alone, but Jesus brings peace in our relationships. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, that Jesus brought peace between two groups, between the divide. He breaks down the dividing wall of hostility. He destroys that dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. But how much more true is that for people groups in our day? Think about the divisions in our culture today. Can anyone name any divided people groups? Any ideas?
Black and white.
Democrat, red and blue. Go with colors. Conservative, liberal. We have divisions in our world. And yet what Jesus brings is peace. If we believe what Ephesians says, it says that he breaks down that dividing wall of hostility. That if there's anything that can come, that can bring two hostile groups together, it is Jesus. Amen? I didn't hear that. If there's anything that can bring divided groups together, it is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now we're awake. Thank you, church. Amen. So the question we have to ask in our personal lives and as a church is, have we experienced this peace? First, this peace with God. Do you have an ongoing relationship with God? And I think when we think about having peace with God, it's not just one moment and then we're good, right? It's a journey. For me, I found peace with God on a beach in Maine when God revealed not just my sin to me, that he loved me more than I did at the time. I said, okay, God, I'm going to stop fighting you. I'm going to start following you. But to be honest with you, that didn't just change my life and I was a good person and had complete peace from that point forward. If you want examples, just ask my wife. And I'm sure she'll politely decline. Peace with God is an ongoing journey because honestly, we mess up every day. We hurt God, we hurt others every day. So the question is, are we pursuing an active relationship of peace with God? The second dimension of this is between us and others. And the question is, do we have peace with others? Look at your own life. Do you have a conflict with a friend or a brother or a sister right now? Do you believe that Jesus can bring peace in that relationship? How many of us have someone in our life that we would rather not like to talk to? Or someone we have conflict with? Right? Everyone should be raising their hand. Right? And yet Jesus is the peace that breaks down dividing walls of hostility. I want to tell you, I'm not going to use names, but there's a person in my life for over 8 years, I thought I would never have peace with this person. Every time I went to be in this person's presence, they did not look at me. They did not speak to me. I thought there was no hope of peace. But Jesus, through prayer and the work of the Holy Spirit, has brought peace between myself and this person where I've seen in small ways there's relationship there. Where I thought I'd never have relationship with this person, there's relationship. This person acknowledges me. This person even says they love me and they care for me. If that's not Jesus working for peace, I don't know what is. Amen? So in your life, if you have a person that you don't have peace with, I'd invite you to pursue peace in the name of Jesus. Next, as we look at what Jesus says next to the disciples in verse 21, he says something probably more radical than we think. He says, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. We've seen how Jesus is this agent of peace between humanity and God, right, on the cross. And then Jesus is this agent of peace between the Gentiles and the Jews. And the next thing that Jesus says is, I'm going to send you to do the same thing. And the disciples are probably like, what? What are you talking about? What is the ministry of peace? I want you to imagine if you're the disciples in the room in this evening, and Jesus says to you, I'm going to send you to do what the Father sent me. How would you feel if you were appointed to solve the world's problems just like Jesus? How would you feel? Is anyone confident they could do it? Right? It would be like being promoted at a company the first day you start. Imagine you apply to work in an Amazon warehouse, and Jeff Bezos comes to you and says, well, I really like your work. You've worked hard for like an hour. I think you know what you're doing. Come be the next CEO. What would your response be? What do you mean, next CEO? Right? It seems like an impossible task. Yet this isn't the only place in the Bible. It says we are called to this ministry of making peace. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:18. It says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the what?
Ministry.
The ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of peace. When Jesus preaches on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed are the wannabe peacemakers. Not blessed are the people who think peacemaking is a good thing. But blessed are the peacemakers. That means he expects us to be in the ministry of making peace. But the question is, how can a group of scared, uneducated fishermen, also with religious and political differences, one of them at least wants to overthrow Rome by killing everyone. How can this group bring peace when the religious authorities are after them and they've already put Jesus on the cross? How can they bring peace? Does it seem overwhelming? Impossible? If I were a disciple, I would say, how are we going to do that, Jesus? How are we going to do this ministry? Look at what they did to you. You tried to bring peace and they put you on the cross. And the only reason you came back is because you're God. And you expect us to do the same thing? But look at what he says next. Jesus breathes on them. And I imagine this as an exhale, right? Just like a deep exhale, and he says what? He says, receive the Holy Spirit. When Jesus breathed on his disciples and gave them the Holy Spirit, there is no doubt that John is calling his audience to think back to the old story of creation, where the writer says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became a living being. It's the same picture that we get in from the prophet Ezekiel that he saw in the valley of dead and dry bones when he heard God say to the wind, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. It's Ezekiel 37, verse 9. The coming of the Holy Spirit is the awakening of the dead back to life. When it comes to the church in this passage, it's recreated for its ministry of peace. So the answer is, Jesus, how can we do ministry of peace when the world is such a mess? It's simply this. The Holy Spirit enables us to do the ministry of making peace, of being like Jesus forever. So how does this apply to us? As a group of 20 or 30-something Mennonites and followers of Jesus, how can we bring peace to our community? Do you think if I told you, church, you're going to go out and you're going to bring peace to the community of Newville? Do you think you could do it on your own? No? Do you think you could do it on your own? Honestly, if I said your job this week is to bring peace, do you think you could do it on your own? But what if I told you that the same Spirit that brought our Lord Jesus Christ back from the dead, the same Spirit that gave you breath, that gave me breath, the same Spirit that silenced the sting of death and opened up the grave, what if I told you that same Spirit, God's Spirit, was on our side? What would your answer be then? It would be yes. We can through the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this as I was appointed to the Newville Borough Council. The Newville Borough Council this week. I showed up and they said they were going to interview me, and I expected them to take a while to get back to me on the whole process thing, because you know government, they take a while. No offense, Brian and the Postal Service. But right then and there, they appointed me. They put me in, and right away I was starting to vote on things. And I was tempted to think, wow, I can do this on my own. I'm going to change the community. I have power now. I'd be a fool to think that I could change the community just by simple votes. But what this passage teaches us is that through the Holy Spirit, He can make an inexperienced borough council member with purple hair such as myself bring peace. Not because of what I can do, but through the Holy Spirit. See, that's the difference, church. We need to seek the Spirit's direction and empowerment if we want peace in our community. Because I seriously believe that God calls us to this task. Amen? The final thing that Jesus says in verse 23 is this. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And I'll be honest with you, when I read this, it was a real head-scratcher. Right? What does that mean? It seems out of context. We've just been talking about how Jesus is the forgiver of sin. But I think if we dig a little deeper, we see that Jesus is talking about the message of forgiveness or the message of peace. Jesus says to disciples, if you remit the sins of anyone, they are remitted. If you retain them, they are retained. This is a saying whose true meaning must be carefully inspected to understand. One thing is certain, no one but God can forgive sins, amen? But another thing is equally certain. It is the great privilege of the church to convey that message of God's forgiveness to men and women, amen? It's our role to say, God offers forgiveness. God offers love. This sentence does not mean that the power to forgive sins is entrusted to an individual or a group. It means the power to proclaim the message of forgiveness was entrusted to the church. It means that we personally have a responsibility when it comes to the forgiveness of sins in the lives of those around us. Simply put, as the people of God, we share the message of God's love, peace, and forgiveness as an opportunity for others to experience freedom and salvation and experience that peace of God. I think that speaks to us personally. It means that if we share this message with others, they can experience what we've experienced. They can have that wholeness in Christ. but also means if we don't, we risk others not knowing God and being separated from God eternally. So it means that we have an important task before us, church, and as N.T. Wright reminds us, that sin is serious. It's a deadly disease that to remain in sin will bring death. Romans says that the wages of sin is death. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 pushes this even further. It says that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. That we are committed to this message of reconciliation, this message of peace. So church, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Church, that is the message that we are called to share. That is our challenge. No, it is our mission to share the message with everyone, so that everyone can have forgiveness. That is what it means for the church to have the power to forgive and not forgive. For me, it's a personal challenge. It means that if I'm not willing to share the message with everyone, it means I'm willing to accept God's peace and forgiveness for myself, but not share it with others. And to me, it seems like an incredibly selfish thing to do, to have peace, to have love, and not share it with others. It's our responsibility to do so. So how do we conclude? How do we wrap it up? How do we move from here with the power of peace, the ministry of peace, and the message of peace? Because we've unpacked a lot about peace today. And I want us to grow in each area that Jesus addresses in this passage. So first, Christ's powerful peace. The first question that you have to look at yourself and ask is, have I experienced the enduring peace of Christ? And if you have, you've been in relationship with him, dig deeper and say, what areas of my life are lacking Christ's peace and presence? Take some time, think about that this week. And in that process, invite God to fill those areas with his love, his forgiveness, and his transformative power. I love that image of Shalom in the Bible Project video where Solomon takes the final brick and completes the temple. See, there's holes in our lives, right, church? That Jesus can take that, his spirit, and fill. So the challenge for us in this area is to do some serious soul searching this week and identify one area in your life that is in deep need of God's peace and ask him to work. Second, how can we grow in the ministry of peace? We have to ask the question, are we taking active steps to being a minister of peace or a peacemaker? How are we actively bringing shalom to our families, our work settings, our church, and our community? How are we creating wholeness? That's a difficult question to answer, and I don't honestly know where to begin myself sometimes. But that's where we seek God's wisdom and guidance through the Holy Spirit to not only help us to do it, but empower us to do it. This is the next step for the leadership team as we meet this week and we consider where God's leading us next. So your challenge in the ministry of peace this week is in your family, at your job, in your community, with your friends, do something to actively bring peace to a broken situation. This might be reconciling with someone you've had conflict with. This might be interceding in prayer for a situation you know about in your family or your community. This might mean being Jesus in a conflict that you know about at work. Finally, the message of peace. And with the message of peace, how we grow is we have to ask God, who is God placed in my life that I can share God's message with? And the more pertinent question is, who in my life am I unwilling to share that message with? Who am I scared to share that message with? Who do I think won't listen? Because church, remember, it doesn't depend on us. It depends on God's Spirit, because He is our peace. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to gather together, to reflect on Your Word, to be challenged by it, to grow in it. And I pray that You would use Your church to make us not only people of peace, but bringers of peace, that participate in the ministry of peace and share the message of peace. We thank You, Father, that You are still working, that You are still moving among us. So peace be with us, peace go with us, and peace rule in our hearts this day and forevermore. It's in Your name I pray. Amen. Church, would we stand for the benediction? Hear these words from the letter of Hebrews. May the God of peace, who brought back the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good to do His will by developing in us what pleases Him through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, church. I don't need to take that home.
What?
I almost...